Another edition of Locked On Rockets Film Room, as today we dive into Jalen Green, his improvement in the mid-range area of his game, as well as how he's navigating pick and roll scenarios this season, as well as breaking down another play for the Rockets, an empty play for the Rockets. That's the name of the play we're going to be breaking down in segment three, coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. As always, we thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. We've got a jam-packed episode today as we're going to be breaking down Jalen Green, his improvement in the mid-range, his improvement as a pick-and-roll ball handler and decision-maker, as well as breaking down one of the actions that the Rockets like to run with Jalen Green with the ball in his hands. We're going to do all of that. And here to do that with me, of course, for another edition of Locked On Rockets Film Room is the X's and O's expert himself, our in-house film guru, Alikant Bijani of The Athletic. What's up, Alikant? How you doing, my guy?
Hey, Jackson. Hey, everybody. Nice to be back, man.
I know it's been a minute, man, but we're so excited to have you on the program whenever we get to have you swing by to talk Rockets basketball and, you know, break down stuff and just make us all better, more informed fans, because I know that's what you love to do and what you're passionate about.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute, and what better time than when the Rockets have won two of the past three against some really good teams in the league. So, Lakers are not a good team, but yeah, the Grizzlies are good, and that was a really good game. So just a lot of really good positives from them, and so, you know, excited to kind of talk about that over the next however long we're doing this. So
yeah, the Lakers are just they're just another lottery team at this point. So, you know, can't lump them in with the Grizzlies. Unfortunately, it was two bottom feeder teams going out against each other with the Rockets and Lakers. But let's get the ball rolling here, Alikant, and we're gonna start this thing off by just diving into what is Jalen Green's improvement in the mid range, because I think that's been an area that I know I've been incredibly vocal about, a lot of Rockets fans have been vocal about, and even in the, you know, media sessions with Jalen, we've been kind of asking him and kind of, you know, prodding him, saying, hey, like, you know, the mid-range, what's going on there? Like, what are you seeing on a night-to-night basis about how defenses are guarding you? And he's been very transparent with us about talking about the fact that he understands he needs to utilize the mid-range more, and we're starting to see that here in this second half of the season. And the jump that he has made utilizing the mid-range here in the second half of the season has been so apparent for our YouTube viewers. If you're looking on YouTube right now, you can see the shot numbers for Jalen Green compared to, you know, the first half of the season pre-All-Star break to post-All-Star break. And I have the numbers brought up as well. But basically, when you look at his numbers, I mean, there's a lot of red in this heat map for the pre-All-Star break Jalen Green. Lot, you know, top of the key, 25% left wing, you know, what, 40% or 0% actually on the heat map. Just not great from the mid-range pre-All-Star break. But then he really took off post-All-Star break, and the numbers have gotten significantly better. And as far as just the actual raw numbers, this isn't actually since post-All-Star break, but since early February, Jalen Green is actually shooting roughly about 60% in the mid-range per NBA.com, which is just absolutely absurd to think about.
Yeah, and even beyond that, Jackson, 12 of 18, just in terms of raw numbers, post-All-Star break in the mid-range. And Jackson, you asked Jalen about that. I'm just curious if you could share again, you know, what did he tell you? Why is he taking more of those mid-range shots?
Well, his answer has been, you know, very, very transparent in the fact that it's all about how defenses are guarding him, right? And he said it himself that the mid-range is always there. Right, the way NBA defenses are geared these days, they're going to try and take away the three ball. They're going to try and, you know, make opportunities at the rim difficult and hard to come by. A lot of teams try to pack the paint against the Rockets, right? And so teams are conceding that mid-range area. And earlier this season, we just didn't see Jalen really taking advantage of that, right? We would see him kind of trying to force the issue you know, going into the teeth of the defense and getting swatted a lot of times right at the rim or putting up these, you know, really difficult shots. And he doesn't quite have the, you know, body to throw his weight around, you know, at the NBA level yet, unfortunately. So it would lead to a lot of empty possessions for Jalen Green. But now we're seeing him actually utilize that mid-range area, which is so open because that's what defenses are giving up.
You know, I want to – let's keep it on this chart for a second because I want to kind of point out a few things that Rockets fans can kind of pay attention to over the next few games. Let's look at the right side, all right? He's shooting almost 40% from three, the right wing. A lot of his mid-range comes in the middle, but he likes to drive right. And that and the reason why I'm mentioning that is because defenses, when they play him – you know, we talked about this early in the season, Jackson, how are defenses playing him? Are they going over the screen? Are they going under the screen? They usually like to go under the screen because they want him to shoot the ball. He's not hitting shots effectively. But they also will go over the screen if they're playing something called weak. Weak is a pick and roll coverage when the defense is essentially forcing you to drive with your non-dominant hand. So for the Rockets and Jalen Green, he's a right-handed player. So weak would be if he's coming around the screen, he's going left. You're going over that screen, so he has to continue going left, right? You don't want him to be able to get to his right hand. And Jalen, you know, credit to him and credit to John Lucas and this coaching staff, he's learning counters. Even if he comes around, he's actually, you know, and we're going to talk about this later when we get into screening. When the screen is set, he's rushing that, you know, coming around the screen and gets in front of the screener's path and tries to get back on the right side. It's something to just pay attention to. It's just a good way for him to be able to beat the coverage and get back to his dominant hand. Those are things that elite scorers do, and elite scorers who know how to get to their spots. He can knock down shots. We're starting to see that now. But once he realizes and is more consistent at countering and getting to his spots with those counters, we're going to see a definite 20-point per game score.
Yeah, we you know, this was kind of one of the skills of his that I was most excited about coming into the NBA season this year, was looking at some of his footage from the G League. Is he had that patented, like, step back go-to move that he utilized quite a bit in the G League, it felt like, whether it was, you know, creating space for a step back three or creating space in the mid-range utilizing that step back. And that's a move that you and I analyzed, how he was able to create so much space already at such a young age. It felt like a patented move at that point, his go-to move, if you will. And we didn't really see a whole lot of that in the kind of first half of the season. We saw, you know, he mix in the occasional step back here and there, but it never really felt nearly as reliable as it's felt over maybe the last month or so, where especially, I mean, just in this most recent impressive win, maybe not impressive win, again, it's against another lottery team in the LA Lakers, but against the Lakers, right, we saw Jalen Green get to that step back. One of the plays that you posted on Twitter for us to break down a little bit later on and discuss when we discuss, you know, the empty set that the Rockets run, is how Jalen Green gets around that screen and then is able to continue to create that separation by getting to that step back, going towards his dominant hand, towards his right hand. And I feel like as he has mixed that move back into his toolkit to get to the mid-range, to create separation and create those opportunities, we're seeing him really evolve and become a true blue, like, three-level scorer.
You know, I want to give a shout-out to Houston Chronicle's Jonathan Fagan. He wrote an article recently on Jalen Green's mechanics, and I don't think it got the attention it should have gotten before the Lakers game. But if you're watching this episode, it's likely not only because you're a Locked On Rockets fan, but you're also really enjoy the technical aspect of the game. And I highly recommend reading the article Jonathan Fagan put out, because it goes into detail the changes that Jalen Green is making and some of the concessions he's making because the shot is going in. And it's just really interesting to kind of read about the base. So before, you know, we continue on with the conversation and answer the question, I just want to be able to say, definitely check that article out. It's really good. Now, in terms of the point you're making, he's starting to get to a point now where you know what his strengths are. And yes, defenses are going to take it away, but he still gets to his strengths. And what I mean by that is, you go back and watch the overtime. I know a lot of you guys probably have watched the overtime highlights multiple times. Watch Jalen Green on those possessions. He loves to go baseline. He loves to be able to use the baseline as a way to protect himself and beat the wing off the dribble. if you go look at the NBA matchup data from the Los Angeles Lakers game, when he was defended by LeBron, Stanley Johnson, or any other wing, essentially, he was very efficient. He got by them relatively easily. When he's being defended by guards or those smaller types of defenders who can stay with him a little bit around those screens or just in isolation, he does struggle a little bit because he's still learning how to adjust to the speed of the game. But the fact that already in his career, he has something to fall back on when he gets a switch, is attacking baseline and beating those wings off the dribble, that's something that's going to allow him to be able to get to that mid-range shot, which he's making right now, get to the paint, hit a layup. And eventually when he's mentioned this multiple times to us, Jackson, this summer for him, yes, it's about his game. It's even more important about his body. He's going to focus so much on his body this offseason that I feel like that next year when he adds a little bit more muscle and size to his frame and his base, when he goes up for those layups, now he can be more confident he'll get those calls because he's more likely to be able to finish through or be able to attack the chest of the defense versus not – right now, I feel like he's more levitating and using his athleticism to stay in front of the shot blocker to go above them or around them. But as he gets more muscle and size, he can go straight through them. That's going to allow him to get contact. And that's truly going to make him an elite three-level scorer.
Yeah, the idea of Jalen Green with 10 or maybe even 15 more pounds of muscle added to his current frame is a terrifying thought, and both terrifying and exhilarating to think about what it's going to look like to see him in action next season after a full summer in an NBA strength and fitness program. But coming up, we want to dive into the pick and roll side of Jalen Green's game. So we're going to stay focused on Jalen Green. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online, because hey, it's that time of year again, college basketball just in full steam. We got March Madness right around the corner. It's almost here. It's going to be so exciting. So many props and lines for the tournament you're not going to want to miss out on. BetOnline, your latest odds, contests, player props. BetOnline, the number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline has you covered for all your sports wagering information, from live betting, Vegas casino games, all of it. They've got everything that you need. Head over to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action available to you. BetOnline, where the game starts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, be sure to check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. As we roll along with our X's and O's conversation with Alikan Bijani. Alikan, screening is something that you and I have talked in depth about multiple times, it feels like, because it feels to me that it's an underrated part of the game. And I don't know if you've seen some of my commentary on Twitter as of late, but I've been absolutely singing the praises of Alperen Şengün and the way that he screens for Jalen Green specifically, but also Kevin Porter Jr., and the way that he actually creates an advantage. You and I talk about, we use that phrase so often, right? Creating an advantage, because at its root, basketball is all about creating an advantage for your team to where you can have an easier opportunity to score the ball. And that's all that, screen setting is, which is why, inherently there's some frustrations at times with Christian Wood. I think a lot of them are, deserved, but, maybe it's not necessarily Christian Wood's fault, the way that he's setting screens but let's dive into this. What are your thoughts about how the Rockets utilize Jalen Green in the pick and roll, and specifically, the way that screeners do screen for him?
Well, he plays with different types of bigs, and I'm going to lump Jay Sean Tate into this conversation and a little bit of KJ Martin because of how well he's playing right now.
Because I want to clear this point just before we get into this. Do you have Christian Wood, Alperen Şengün, Jay Sean Tate, and KJ Martin all in different tiers of screeners, or are KJ and Jay Sean kind of similar, and like they'd be one tier, then the other two guys are their own tiers as well? So three different types of screeners, essentially.
So I think the types of in terms of type of screener, I would label it as contact and non-contact screeners. Okay. And so before we get into that, I'd like to show a clip to our audience, or for our listeners on podcasts, be able to listen to Stephen Silas. I asked him about screening. And then once we hear that clip, we'll talk about kind of how I label or categorize the certain Rockets bigs in terms of where they fit.
Steven, I wanted to ask you about screening. So on offense, particularly with your bigs, do you have them screen differently depending on the ball handler they're screening for, such as the amount of contact, or in some cases, no contact that a screener makes?
Yeah, it's dependent a lot of times on the coverage of the screener's defender. So if the screener's defender is up, probably don't want to screen as much. You want to get out quicker. Whereas if the screener's back, defender is back, you want to set a good screen so you can gain an advantage at the point of the screen. But the goal is to always create a situation where there's two on the ball and can attack 4-on-3 or 3-on-2 or whatever it is. So it very much depends on the screener's defender as opposed to the ball.
Yeah, so I think Steven does a wonderful job of kind of explaining this. And I know Steven Silas gets a lot of flack from Rockets fans for a lot of different things. But I will say one of his strengths is that he's a very good communicator. He knows how to effectively communicate basketball so people can understand, which is why I really wanted him to ask that question. Number one, to kind of see his thought process about screening, but also for the audience here to be able to hear from him about, you know, a technical side of basketball, but how important screening is for this Rockets offense in particular. And now to answer your question, Jackson, how I would label the Rockets screeners, and to a fault for Christian Wood, he is a non-contact screener. Now, what does that mean? Is that a bad thing? Oh, he gets no contact, he gets a little blip, and that's it. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because Christian Wood is more likely to pop out to the perimeter. And if Jalen Green is not, you know, immediately – so let's look at it from a concept of a screen. If a guy sets a screen, it's relatively quick. That means that guy who is going over the screen is able to stay with Jalen faster. And that big, since Jalen is immediately going around the corner, the big is kind of is going to step up towards Jalen too. So that puts two on the ball. We just talked about it, and Steven Silas also mentioned it too. 2-on-1 is a very high priority for this offense, being able to create advantages that way. So for advantage for Christian Wood, with how well he shoots from the top of the key, is to be able to run those actions, which they do out of 21 series, out of delay. I'm saying these names, so if you're a Rockets fan, you can look this up, and we will also cover these types of plays in future Locked On Rockets film room episodes. They're flare actions, essentially where Christian Wood is screening for Jalen Green, and when instead of Christian Wood diving towards the paint, you have Christian pop out, and most oftentimes he's wide open for that three because that advantage is created. Even though the screen wasn't as hard, that's fine because Christian was able to pop out, quickly get into the spot he needed to get into. So yes, I get it. Rockets fans have gripes. There are some times where I'm like, you know, Christian should have set a little bit harder of a screen, especially if he's rolling. But times when he's popping in particular, that's a good thing if he's not too harsh with that screen. Now, let's look at the other guys. I would say KJ Martin is somebody who can play a little bit of both, which is why I'm really bullish on his potential. You know, if he sets a quick screen, he can slip or he can pop out. If he sets a hard screen, and even if he's still a little bit behind the play, he's so athletic and he can jump so high that I'm not concerned about the type of screen he does. He has a nice frame. I think as he adds more muscle to his body, I think he's going to be able to be a good player. And if he continues to shoot the way he has, 36% from three, that's really going to allow Jalen Green a great option of a pick and pop there. You're essentially going to have KJ Martin and Christian Wood, one being a better lob threat than KJ, in my opinion, to be able to set screens for him out of angles and be able to attack that way. Now let's get to Jayshon Tate. Jayshon's a very interesting thing. If you are Rockets fans for many years, you probably remember during the James Harden era where guys like Ben McLemore or Trevor Ariza, Lupa Mute, early in transition, they would send those, set those quick brush screens. And what I mean by that is they would go up to James Harden's defender, you know, like basically like poke them on the shoulder and then kind of like, you know, cut inside. It was those little flashy things that basically caught the defense off balance. When you're switching as much as defenses do now in the league, the best way to beat a switch is to slip. So in that case, you want to slip. And if there's sometimes an advantage, James would pass the ball overhead and you would be good to go. Jayshon is the same way. He loves to slip screens. He will set hard screens from time to time, but he loves to slip. Why is that? Because the way centers are playing off of him, the more he's on the move in the half court, the better. The more he's on the move and gets to the dunker spot, even better. So for him to be able to get towards the paint off the run when he's setting the screen, get to his left hand over his left shoulder or right shoulder with his left hand, whatever the case, he likes both. But that's a very big advantage for him. So all in all, I would say Christian is much better as a non-contactless screener. People may disagree with me on that. That is fine. That is just my personal opinion. And then when it comes to the other three guys, I think they are all better as contact screeners because they're able to still do some different things. Does that hopefully help Jackson kind of differentiate how they're different? Now, that means that Christian can set hard screen and dive, right? People can disagree with me. That is fine. If you're in the YouTube comments, on Twitter, feel free to disagree, right? This is a conversation. We're talking basketball. I'm not going to get on my high horse. Like, this is a conversation. But in my opinion, just with the way the Rockets play and having Christian Wood even recently coming off of double drag actions as a kind of a wing, getting pinned downs set for him or getting threes for him, I mean, he's really good in that sense. And so I like when he doesn't set as hard of a screen as when he's just quickly setting those screens and getting out to the perimeter.
No, and I think you did a beautiful job kind of illustrating and kind of categorizing those guys. And I think the other, there's two points that I want to throw in here before we get to, I want to follow up this conversation and actually highlight just a little bit Jalen Green and his ability in the pick and roll too, because we talked about the screening side of the pick and roll, but I do want to highlight Jalen as well. But in addition to, you know, the types of screeners that those guys are, I think it inherently plays into their type of play style, right? So I think the frustrating thing is fans want to see Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. be the tip of the spear of the offense. They want to see them be the one, you know, the number one, number two option. When inherently, when Christian Wood is setting a screen, he's not setting the screen for the advantage to be for Jalen Green. The screen is being set by Christian Wood so that he can create an advantage for himself, which at times fans are viewing as a negative thing, like he's just out to get his own numbers or do whatever, when inherently that's just how it's working with Christian Wood because of the type of player that he is, because of his threat to pop and be a big who can roll out to the three-point line and pop after setting a quick, you know, non-contact screen, that type of thing. So I've been highly critical of, you know, Christian Wood, but I think Alperen Şengün, when you see him setting screens, or KJ Martin, Jay Shante, their screens tend to be a bit more about creating the advantage for the ball handler, or even in Jay Sean Tate's case, right? When he slips, he's creating the advantage for himself because he becomes the target to, you know, loft the pass over the top of the defense. And then he can either create from there, pass it out to an open shooter in the corner if the defense collapses, or he creates an opportunity for himself at the rim. But, you know, so those are just kind of my observations on the kind of, you know, building on your points about kind of, you know, categorizing those guys as different types of either contact or non-contact screeners. But I do want to, you know, touch base on Jalen Green, his ability to navigate the actual pick and roll. We're going to do that in just a quick second after a message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, when it comes to protein bars, if you haven't checked out Built Bar yet, what are you doing? It's the best protein bar on the market. They've got so many amazing flavors to choose from: raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, mint brownie, peanut butter, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every single bar they have, first off, they're all covered 100% delicious chocolate. They're all low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe you're just trying to cut back a little bit. You can do that with Built Bar. They can help you stick to your goals. Just check them out. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your very next order of the best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, go check out Locked On NBA podcast. I host it on Mondays. It's a great show, but you should also check it out 5 days a week because it's breakdowns of the biggest stories all around the NBA, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Alicon, when it comes to Jalen in the pick and roll, right? Because we kind of established and laid the framework with the screeners, right? His partners in crime in the pick and roll. But I think Jalen especially has grown so much as a pick and roll ball handler, and specifically just the way that he's reading and reacting to how defenses are guarding him in the pick and roll, right? And choosing his spots better. And a big part of that is just, again, so much of the early part of the season was spent with Rockets fans being frustrated that Jalen was being parked in the corner and not utilized. I think part of that's just trying to break out of the mentality of like the James Harden with the ball in his hands, pounding the air out of the ball for 22 seconds of the shot clock, heliocentric offense that the Rockets fans have been conditioned into for the better part of the last decade. So it's getting away from that idea of basketball and allowing Jalen's had this opportunity now through the better part of the first chunk of the season to just learn and grow and study and get used to how defenses are playing him. And now we're seeing him reap the benefits of those rewards. And specifically, a couple of the plays that you highlighted from the Rockets-Lakers game, we saw him kind of navigating pick and roll, snaking through the defense and finding his sweet spot, right? Finding those openings in the defense, which he wasn't able to do earlier this season.
So that was literally, you know, that was the purpose of me sharing those clips, is to be able to show you how he's changed. Early on in the season, especially early in the season, he would get the ball, come off the screen, and he would be full, like 100 miles an hour, trying to get to the rim. There was no calmness. He'd be like, okay, look, I have the ball. I'm going to come off the screen, and I'm going to attack. That was the game plan. Now, in those same situations, on those angles or in the corners or towards the sidelines, you're seeing him get the ball and saying, okay, where's the low man? Where's the weak side? Who's in the corner? What's going on? Let me read what's going on. Let me use my quick first step to first get an advantage. If I need to slow down to let the big get back into play, or do I need to slow down and be able to move chess pieces around on the weak side, let me do that. And then, you know what? I'm going to use my speed again. I'm going to get towards the rim. Now, that's working for him because he loves driving right. And when he drives right, I mean, he's phenomenal. And in the second clip where he snaked a pick and roll, what happened? The Rockets were set up where there was somebody in the corner, right? And so there's somebody in the corner. He can't drive right as easy as he could normally. So he snakes back and gets to a spot where he cannot get a shot. Early in the season, or even a few weeks ago before the All-Star break, he would try to snake that same play. What's the difference between now and then? Instead of forcibly trying to get physical contact and snake and put his back in front of the defender, he's simply snaking and getting to a spot quickly. The game has definitely slowed down. He's getting to his spots, and it's working, and the Rockets are better for it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Alec, on one of those clips that you did share on Twitter, one of those was empty, right? With you know,
yes.
Basically one side loaded up with shooters and then Jalen and the screener occupying one side of the court, which is the play that we're going to break down right now. So we'll go ahead and get that pulled up for our YouTube viewers. But as we're going to break this down, I want to be to reap the benefits of our feedback. The last time that we did an LOR film room, we need to be as visual as possible for our podcast listeners. Shout out to the podcast listeners, the loyal. This was a podcast in its original conception. But, you know, the YouTube side of things has been a lot of fun to be able to have some visual elements. But we're going to do a really good job of illustrating this and really walking you through with, you know, being as descriptive as possible. So essentially, if you're looking at the basket, right, the basket is directly in front of you. The Rockets, the play that we're breaking down is the Rockets have three players lined up on the left side of the court, one shooter in the corner, one shooter in the slot, and then maybe another shooter a bit towards the top of the key, but kind of basically evenly spaced out across what is the weak side of the court. And then on the strong side, you have the ball handler, in this case would be Jalen Green. And then you have the screener getting ready to come up and set a screen for Jalen Green. And so I'll let Ali Khan take it over from there.
So, yeah, and what Jackson said about having a guy in the slot and the guy in the corner, you can even have an extreme empty situation where you have two guys in the corner, one guy in the slot, and you have even more of the court to be able to do. So what is empty? Empty can run out of every action. All the actions the Rockets run can end up leading to empty, where you have two guys, like Jackson said, on one side of the court. So why are empty pick and rolls effective? Because they open up a lot of space for the ball handler and screener to operate. It forces the defense to shift aggressively, step on the pick and roll. The key thing about empty is it's called empty because there's an empty corner. There's nobody in the corner that can help off or leave the corner shooter to be able to get in rotation, to be able to help, or whatever the case may be. There's nobody who can lunge at the ball. So that's why it allows a lot more space, and it puts the defense in really tough spots to defend. So for the screener, what does it do? Gives a screener a free chance to roll to the rim. So if the defense isn't aggressively trying to attack them from the weak side because of all those shooters, that's a really open middle like of the lane for the screener to be able to go. And the low angle, because of how because it's set at an angle on the side, the low angle of the screen puts the screener defender into in a tough spot. Because if he helps all of the roller and gets into the middle, that allows the ball handler a free kind of essentially baseline drive towards the rim. And then if the screener isn't tagged, or if they kind of just help on the ball handler, that, you know, it's like two steps essentially for a big to be able to go up and dunk it down with the lob or go from there. And this play is really good with Jalen and Şengün because, you know, Şengün is still learning how to roll towards the rim effectively and finish. not just roll, but also finish. The thing about Şengün is he can slow down his roll and get some post positioning and be able to get the ball patiently and score. Yesterday against the Lakers, he had 7 post-ups. Against Miami, he had 7 post-ups. That's the most he's had in a long time. And so, you know, he's starting to get his touches a lot more too, where he's successful. Jalen, he gets an empty corner, makes it an easy read for him to either go baseline or go back to the middle of the floor, allow him to score more effectively. And as he gets more playing time, they won't have to run empty as much. But empty is an easy way for this team to be able to get going. The key word about empty, when you watch games, when there's an empty corner, that means there is not an easy way for the defense to send help towards the ball. That's it.
You know, Ali Khan, I love this play because this has been something that, you know, I went back to highlight and look at thinking, well, why aren't we seeing Jalen utilize kind of the sidestep mid-range step back that he was using so much in the G League? And when I went back to look at some of that footage, I looked at it and they were running some empty actions where Jalen did have kind of the entire side of the court to work with, where he was able to make that drive hard to the baseline, as you alluded to and highlighted earlier. But the difference is a lot of the times when the Rockets are running kind of some of their usual 5-out sets where you've got somebody in the strong side corner, Jalen's attacking from the slot, he has that defender there who can lunge at the ball or kind of scoot in a bit, you know, off the defender and make kind of occupying just that corner of the floor. And it's not nearly as much space for him to work with. So I'm glad that we were able to highlight this play. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but did the Rockets also run a variation of this back in the day with Austin Rivers? Because I remember this being a play or a similar version of it where Austin would have the entire side of the court to work with. And it was kind of his patented, he would, like, you know, triple threat and then, you know, jab step left and then just drive in right. And he was so quick, he would, you know, it was almost a guaranteed bucket.
So it's very similar, but I would say that was more of like a wing isolation where you had 3 guys in the corner and 1 guy on the top of the key, you know, ready to get involved in the action. You know, it was basically a weak side action kind of distracting the play and in isolation, versus this allows a screener and ball handler to both be involved and forces a defense to have to get into a really tough spot with the rotations.
It's definitely nice to see Jalen Green taking advantage of what defenses are giving him. He's doing just that with the mid-range. He's growing as a pick-and-roll ball handler. We're seeing that on display on a nightly basis as this season has progressed. Jalen Green is growing up right before our very eyes, and we've got Ali Khan Bajani along with us to break down what we're seeing. Ali Khan, always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know the drill. Let everybody know where to track you down at.
Follow me on Twitter, Rockets_Insider. Has some good stuff coming for y'all soon, but appreciate it. Please get involved in the conversation. I really love when people reach out to me when they watch a play. I've seen a lot of, oh my God, I just saw Wiper. Rockets winning a lot of Wiper. Obviously, they have been, and now people are calling it. It makes me really happy. So please reach out whenever you see something. If you have questions about film, more than happy to have a conversation with you on the mentions or DMs as well. But yeah, nice to be here, man.
You know what's going to happen is now people are going to start calling out empty. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen now.
It's good. That's what I want. That's perfect.
All right, Ali Khan, always a pleasure to have you on the show, man.
Thanks, Jackson.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Rockets Film Room with Ali Khan Bajani. As always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, check out the new Locked On Rockets YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. What was your favorite part of this episode? Did you learn something new in today's episode, or did you already know all of this? Let us know in the comments. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.